When I first got my driver's license, I was 17 at the time. Mom made me wait a year. It's not surprising. But I remember distinctly that the car that we were allowed to drive, or I was allowed to drive, was the Econoline biggest van Ford made, right? So the family had 9 kids at that point, and so it was the long Econoline Ford van. And I remember, and I could even tell you where the road is, and at what point I decided, now I've got my license, nobody else is in the car with me, I'm going to punch it, and I'm doing 90. It was stupid, but it felt like freedom. I can also remember, at this point, not too long after that, you're working, you have a little bit of your own money, and at the end of the day, you stop in, Quickie Mart or whatever, and need a snack. So the big box of peanut butter Captain Crunch, and it goes in the seat next to you, and I can eat the whole box. And that was juvenile, but it tasted like freedom, right? So you can probably picture in your own mind that point in your life or those particular things in which you realized, I now get to decide, and I have some freedom that I did not have before. And for most Americans, it comes in the form of the automobile, when you can get out on the road, go right or left, here or there, and as long as you're back in time, you got some freedom. Our readings today touch upon this theme of freedom, and it really questions and holds them, in a certain sense, an examination of our own sense of freedom. Most of us experience freedom in our lives, and we think about it in this country in the ways I just described. It is fundamentally a freedom from coercion or others or their plans for me, and it's a freedom for me. And that's a distortion of what freedom's actually about. I'll first give you the formula, and then I'll show you how it applies in the Gospels. Freedom is for purpose, period. Freedom is for purposeful living. Purpose can only be true if it's grounded in the mystery of God. Freedom is for purpose, and purpose is only true if it's grounded in the mystery of God. If we want to know if our life has meaning, if we really want it to be grounded, eventually it can only be grounded in a trust in God and in the mystery of God. It cannot be grounded foundationally in the human person and in this world. It has to be grounded in God. In our first reading, we hear Job, and he laments the drudgery of life, and he says, "This life is a toil." And at that point in the book of Job, if you watch what happens with Job, he senses or sees, A, no purpose for his life at this point because his vision is limited. He does not see how possibly God could be working in the midst of what's happened to him. And so his vision and his idea of purpose and meaning was always limited to what Job had. And now that that's gone, Job knows no purpose. If you had to find an anthem for Job at this point in the scriptures, you might quote Kris Kristofferson's song, made famous by Janis Joplin, "Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose," right? And nothing ain't worth nothing, but it's free. That's not Christian. That's not faith. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Freedom is another word for everything to do. In our second reading, Paul then speaks about the fact that he is under an obligation to preach this gospel. And we might suspect, we might have some suspicion about why that's the case, because we know Paul. Paul likes to be right. Before Paul's conversion, Paul had no problem laying down the law or persecuting others who did not accept the law, and Paul knew himself to be right. And we might suspect that Paul likes to preach the gospel because now that he's found the truth, Paul likes to be right again and tell everybody how right he is now. But the gospel is not about being right. Paul says two things. I preached the gospel under obligation because my own freedom, my own purpose, is inextricably linked to it. I cannot live my purpose in life unless I preach this. I will be inauthentic, insincere, untrue to myself unless I preach this gospel. And so it's not about being right, it's about living in freedom. Paul accepts faith in Christ and experiences in that faith, in the person of Christ, a purposeful living that can only be had in the mystery of God's redemptive love. And he knows that. So Paul has no problem becoming all things to all people. And he says, woe to me if I do not preach this gospel, because he knows in the moment he ceases to preach it, he loses himself. In the moment he seeks to define the limits which God will ask him to go, he is less a man. In the moment he decides who he will be for God and to others, he ceases to be an apostle. And Paul knows this. So Paul experiences the true freedom and knows it, and that's what he announces. That's what he is under an obligation to proclaim. In our gospel, then, very subtly woven in, Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. And it says, she got up and served them. Now, we might suspect Peter said, you know, if you heal her, have her serve us, right? And who knows? I mean, you know, he might have said, whatever you do, don't heal that woman, right? But the gospel indicates that Jesus heals and then she serves. The healing that the Lord gives is for a purpose, that we can live purposefully in service to Christ, in service to that message of freedom, in service to others to bring them the vision of that freedom. Then Jesus goes out and everybody looks for him. Very subtly, the gospel is telling us that everybody searches for this type of freedom that attaches to purpose in life. Freedom for, not freedom from. And then Jesus goes on to preach that to the nearby villages. If you think about your own life, at the very times when you decided to make concrete commitments that in the world's eyes limit your freedom, limits your options, that's at the very moment when you actually become somebody, because you become a person for the other and you find yourself, right? Now, purpose for, but if it's not grounded in God, then it's simply for this time. It is limited to the here and now and ultimately inconsequential. I am one priest among thousands who have lived, who preach the gospel, who live my life, and then I die. If that's not rooted in the mystery of God's call, in the mystery of God's love and redemption, in the mystery of how God sees the world, then it really doesn't matter. your own lives. Either you have a family and raise your kids and bring them up and hope that they make it to heaven. But if that's not rooted in the mystery of God and His love and His plan, then we're just cosmic dust specks. It's nice to have the idea of freedom and purpose and all that goes with that, but in the end, really, out of the vastness of the cosmos, do we really think it matters? There's the abyss of nothingness that simply stares at us, and we know it. The purpose has to be grounded in a foundational faith in God's word, God's love, God's plan. And that's freedom. Freedom to live life in God. And that's the good news.